of Evergreen State University in Olympia, Washington. It was Israeli scholar Ilan Pappe, and they were talking about why is Palestine still an issue. You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 9:59. Next up is Eric Cascadia.
Over-reliance on incarceration has left millions of children emotionally cut off from the most important relationship of their young lives. Join Prison Pipeline on May 30th to hear Laura Speer from the Annie E. Casey Foundation discuss how children of prisoners are impacted and how the states and communities can help support these kids and improve their prospects for success. That's Prison Pipeline, May 30th, at 6:30 p.m.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, May 27th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, real radio for real people at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. Today, first, it's Friday, if you haven't noticed already. If you haven't noticed already, also, some of that little lowering threat of showers seems to be made manifest today. 50-50, they say, from the National Weather Service, and high around 62. Light winds for tonight, about the same chances of wet weather. And moving into the weekend, it's probably going to be a little bit more sun than rain for Saturday, and high around 68. Light winds once again, and for Saturday night, overcast skies, lows around 54, and pretty much no wind at all. And for Sunday, again. We might as well just say it once and leave it at that, because it's a chance of showers, not much of a chance, but a chance nonetheless. Otherwise, sunny skies and a high around 70. Ooh, creeping up there now. And 5 to 8 mile per hour winds in the afternoon, Sunday night, overcast skies. And don't be too surprised, a low around 52. That's it for the weather. Thank you, Chaos Theory, for that prediction. About after 24 hours in, however, predictions begin to fall apart because that lovely smooth flow of information disintegrates into turbulence. It bifurcates. Then things get interesting. Well, things are going to get interesting this morning on Air Cascadia. Today's guest, Mark Hertzgaard, is joining us as a pre-recorded piece. He is hard to miss these days, Mark. He's been on Democracy Now. He's been on the front page in the editorial section of the New York Times. And he's an extraordinary writer, 7 books under his belt to date and counting. His most recent one is Bravehearts. It's about whistleblowing in general, the morality, the ethics, and some of the brightest names in the whistleblowing firmament. Snowden, of course. And then after Edward Snowden, we go back a few years to how this originated, how Snowden came to make those crucial decisions, first to blow the whistle on the secrecy within the NSA, first that. But after the decision to do it, the next set of decisions is, of course, how to protect himself, because he's seen what happens to those who play by the rules. We've got a few new names to introduce you to, and far better to have Mark himself introduce you to those people. Many people, of course, are familiar with Thomas Drake and William Binney and others. Diane Rourke vanished, and then she was said to be living somewhere in Oregon. I tracked her down, and I know where she lives, but I'm not going to tell you. Anyway, Mark Hertzgaard is, of course, just a little bit more bio. He's the environmental correspondent for The Nation, and he's On Bended Knee is his most well-known book. He has written extensively on climate change adaptation. And Bravehearts is quite a read. It's definitely looking over the edge and thinking, my God, that's steep. I better be careful. And then, whoops, here we go. We're going to go right into it now. My guest this morning on Air Cascadia is the journalist Mark Hertzgaard. He is the environmental correspondent for The Nation magazine. And you perhaps know him from his work on Bended Knee, the Press and the Reagan Presidency. Hertzgaard has written extensively, of course, on climate change adaptation. His work, Hot, Living Through the Next 50 Years on Earth, is one of those absolutely must-read works that we rarely come across in the enormous volume of writing that climate change, climate collapse, perhaps a better term for it, has generated. And on that note, I bring you Mark Hertzgaard. I'm so pleased to welcome Mark Hertzgaard to the KBOO Airways. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so this just came out in the Guardian, and what we're going to talk about today is a name that listeners probably won't have heard of. John Crane, a top Pentagon official who was fighting to protect NSA whistleblowers and who himself became a whistleblower. Mark, how did that happen?
I think by now most people know what Edward Snowden did. He leaked some very top-secret documents 3 years ago in June 2013, revealing that the United States National Security Agency was collecting information, the phone calls and emails of literally tens of millions of Americans and people around the world. But if you want to know why Snowden did what he did, the way he did it, you need to know the story of two other people. And one of those is Thomas Drake, as you know, and the other is John Crane. And John Crane is a senior Pentagon whistleblower who's coming forward for the first time in my book, Bravehearts. whistleblowing in the age of Snowden. And John Crane essentially is giving us a, his revelations tell us a secret new chapter in the Snowden story. So secret, I might add, that Snowden himself didn't know about it until this book came out and we published an extract from the book in the Guardian newspaper, which of course broke the original Snowden stories. And in essence, what Crane tells us is that his senior officials in the Pentagon repeatedly broke the law. Instead of protecting whistleblowers, they persecuted and prosecuted whistleblowers, specifically Thomas Drake. John Crane was the assistant inspector general inside the Pentagon, which meant that he was responsible for the Pentagon's handling of all of its whistleblower cases. And in particular, in the case of Thomas Drake, it was Thomas Drake's experience that led Snowden to conclude that he had to go outside of channels. Tom Drake was a very senior NSA official, much higher up in the NSA. He reported to the number three official there. And he tried 10 years earlier than Snowden to blow the whistle on the very same surveillance programs that Snowden later exposed. The difference is that Drake, a career military man, went through channels. He went up the chain of command. He followed the law, and he ended up getting crushed. They fired him. They arrested him. They raided his house at gunpoint, threatened him with 35 years in prison, blackballed him, stripped his security clearance. And today, Thomas Drake works in an Apple store in suburban Washington, D.C., because he can't get a job back in his old field. And when Snowden saw what happened to Drake, he concluded that, you know, going through channels was a dead end. And so if he was going to try to raise his concerns about the surveillance program, he would have to go outside of channels. Now, with John Crane coming forward and giving us the inside story of exactly how his Pentagon superiors broke the law to persecute Thomas Drake, we now can see that Snowden's suspicions were validated. And John Crane essentially tells us that his superiors, the acting inspector general at the Pentagon and the general counsel in the inspector general's office, that both of them repeatedly broke the law. They withheld evidence. They destroyed evidence. They lied to a federal judge in the case about having destroyed the evidence. Now, all of these are felonies, and they could very well end up putting these officials in jail. But John Crane was arguing against them. And the story of his battles inside the Pentagon to try and assure whistleblowers of fair and legal treatment, that's the story I tell in my book, Bravehearts. Well, the NSA is part of the Pentagon.
Yes.
Thomas Drake originally raised his concerns within the NSA, along with the other four NSA whistleblowers. You mentioned Bill Binney, also Diane Rourke, Kirk Wiebe, and they came forward and they raised their concerns at the NSA level, and the inspector general at the NSA at first ruled against them. And for just so listeners know, an inspector general, there's one in almost every federal agency, and they're essentially an internal sheriff, if you will. They're supposed to make sure that the agency obeys the law, that the workers in the agency, you know, they don't aren't being harassed by their bosses, that the agency is spending money the way the Congress has authorized it, and so forth. And so the NSA's inspector general ruled against them. Then they ended up going up the chain, and that's where they have ended up at the Pentagon's inspector general office, where John Crane was the officer who was in charge. And as Crane processed their concerns, that's as he began to become suspicious, because obviously it's a cornerstone of whistleblower law that the identity of a whistleblower must be protected. Otherwise, the fear of retaliation would keep most whistleblowers from speaking out. And unfortunately, in the case of Drake and the other four NSA whistleblowers, it appears, and Crane was very suspicious, that his superiors had in fact identified them to Department of Justice investigators, and that's why eventually the FBI raided their homes.
I see. Well, why don't we? Why haven't you heard more about Crane in the past? In the course of, I did not come across. I may have in passing, but I was looking mainly at at Drake and then
John
Snowden.
Green has never come forward before. That's the point of my new book. He is coming forward for the first time in my book, speaking out publicly for the first time, and about his experience as both the Assistant Inspector General at the Pentagon and now as a whistleblower, because they forced him out eventually of his job at the Pentagon, and he became a whistleblower.
So how does it, so did he came to you, it seems to me though, from what reports that I've seen, that being a whistleblower in these times is a lot riskier, and there are, although we are told that there are protections in place, and there's difference between being government employees as whistleblowers and whistleblowers in the public sector. But what prompted him to come forward now in the time of... And that's all we have time for today on Air Cascadia. There is more to the Mark Hertzgard interview, which we will post on the KBOO website. This has been Air Cascadia for Friday, May 27, 2016. Kirsten Yount engineered the show for us today. Thank you so much, Kirsten, for wrestling that one to the ground. Kathleen Stevenson is KBOO EM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Lobbyists by camp.
Flashpoints, whistleblowing in the age of Snowden. We'll feature a brand new extended interview with Mark Hertzgard about the latest whistleblower to step out of